Morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said last week, I'll repeat it again this week. Any of you watching on Facebook, that the YouTube one is working excellent now. So if this is not a good enough view for you, then please feel free to jump over to YouTube. We're thankful that Cheryl has spent the time of getting that fixed and others involved. But anyways, our sermon text for this, the fourth Sunday of Epiphany, is going to be taken from 2 Thessalonians. And it's going to be from chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 13 through 17. You can remain seated. And we're going to read about standing firm. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13 and continuing in Jesus' name. But we ought always give thanks to you, to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctification by the Spirit, the belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our God, Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God of Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us, and we ask by the presence of your Spirit that you would sanctify us in the truth. We know, Father, your word is truth. We ask that you would continue to give us the ability to look towards you and always be encouraged by your word, by your Spirit, and even by the fellowship you allow us to have one with another. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. So how are you standing? Yeah, on the promises of God. Exactly. That was kind of cool. Erica put that in there, right? Absolutely. It is the promises of God that we stand in. It is by his word that we actually have this great hope. And Paul is trying to encourage the church. He's in reality bringing to them the understanding. There'll be a lot of garbage going on. See, it's not just, you know, today that we're dealing with stuff in our lives. This has been going on from the beginning of time. And it's not that God really desired that human beings would become so wayward, if you could say it in that way, but it ended up being that way. And he sent an answer. And he sent the answer as Christ Jesus, that he would be the sanctification, that he would be the payment of our penalty. And he asks us each and every day to look to him, to be encouraged by him. See, when Paul's talking to the Thessalonians, he's really bringing out the understanding of there'll be a lot of false prophets. There's going to be a lot of struggle. But don't become weary. Continue to look to that finished work. Continue to look to the prize, Christ Jesus. He brings it out in a very strong way when you look in the aspect of the beginning of this letter, what he's bringing across. In verse 3, he says, we ought always give thanks to God for you. He says, as it is right, because your faith is growing, and it's growing abundantly. And the love of every one of you for each one is increasing. In other words, they're really maturing in the faith. He says, therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and your faith. He says, in all of your persecutions, in all the afflictions that you are enduring. What he's saying is, yes, things may look dark, things may seem difficult around you, but we're continually bringing before God the Father prayers in your behalf because we see that God is doing a work through this. He's doing a great work through this. And when we go through our struggles in our life, whether it be health, whatever it may be, they actually have an opportunity to allow us to grow, allow us to mature, and to also gain experience, even as Ephesians would say, and that experience would give us a hope. We trust that God has gotten us through it last time, whatever it may be, and so therefore we can really understand He will get us through this next time. All the way up, if we could say, to the grand day when we receive our eternal reward. And so Paul is trying to encourage them very strongly. He says, I know you're going through difficulty. And I know it's going to get, you know, it's difficult, you're being tried and everything else like this. He says, but we're always praying for you. He says, because God is actually maturing you, allowing you to become worthy of the calling. He says that you would continue to go on in good works, that you would continue to have this experience, to continue to reveal to the world around who you are. How's that working for you? There's times I like this and there's times I don't. There's times that I really, you know, see that God is working in my life. It seems like, you know, maybe my attitude's right at the time. And I say, well, this is beneficial. If I can just help somebody else. Nobody would ever think something like cancer could be a positive thing, right? Because we don't like that. That's something that we feel very insecure about. But I remember years ago, I was sitting in a little basement in a church in Alston, and I was listening to some elders talking, and it was two elder women, and they both shared with me how they had been through cancer, one of them twice. And one of them once. But we're sitting around at a little coffee clutch and they're talking about the experience. And God gave me a living testimony sitting right there that, you know, you can go through a process like this and actually come out on the other side stronger. And these women, one of them's still alive, the other one's gone to glory. But they were powerful women that God allowed. And what use did I have of that? What use did I have of information that you can go through something so difficult and yet come out on the other side stronger? Well, little did I know that within probably a year that my stepfather would get cancer again for the second time, and that cancer actually would take him out. Because then going through that process, I saw God giving him strength, where he came to faith in Christ Jesus and where he saw what was truly important in this world and what wasn't, and what the relationships he had and how important those things were. That's why I always tell you, don't make fun of the rugged cross, because it was very dear to me because he loved that song when he became a believer. God can use all these things. Well, then maybe, you know, a few months later, you never know, would we need it again? Yes, I watched my father-in-law. He had cancer and it went throughout his body. And I watched him go through a process where I saw a very large family come together around the bed of my father-in-law. And nothing else was more important except for the relationship of that family and the relationship between this family and Christ Jesus. These experiences can teach us and encourage us. But what need would I have of that? So I watched my stepfather and my father-in-law both pass away of cancer. Within a year, I had it. And God had prepared me. What has God prepared you for? See, we go through circumstances. We go through difficulties. But God is not so cold that he just throws us into it. If we would but open our eyes and open our ears and that we would interact with the body of Christ, we could actually see that he is preparing each and every one of us for our mission, if we could say. Our testimony. Well, God blessed me, right? He did. And he used the science of this world and the faith of the saints to heal me. And I'm thankful for that every year. But does it end there? I remember I had an individual within our community that was going through cancer, and he was not a believer. And I asked if I could see him. I wanted to talk with him. And he didn't want no pastor to come visit him. But then his wife told him, he says, he actually has gone through this. He's had 39 chemo treatments. He knows what you're going through. After that, he said, come on down. That is one time I thank God that I was able to go through that. Because it allowed the door to be opened that I could go and minister to somebody. Our experiences are not wasted. Honestly, the only one that could waste them would be me in my life and you in your life. Why are we ashamed when we feel like our body is breaking down, or maybe we don't do all the right things and we have these what we call errors in our life? We need to be encouraged that God is using them as a tool to be able to minister to a world that is hurting and scared. And Paul, he understood this. Paul was a brilliant individual. Even himself, he says, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees when he was Saul. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was taught by the best, the elite. He even says within himself, he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was perfect in the law. Perfect, he says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So he had done everything right. All the boxes were checked. And God used him for a powerful force, not, say, just for the children of Israel, something Paul would have never thought of, for the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters in Christ, he can use you. He can use me, and he will. He'll use each and every one of us in our experiences to be able to reach whom he would desire to be reached, that we have a message to share. But there is the other side of the coin. There is also a deception out there. There's a deception that is found so powerfully in this world if we would but open our eyes to it. As we've said a couple times, in this day and age we're living in, we think all the time that we're mad at each other, that we can now divide over who we are, maybe politically or whatever it may be. But it's not about human being to human beings. Well, the battle that we have going on is actually principalities and powers. There is evil at work in this world. I don't know why it's so wrong to think that. But there is good. And we are not here to divide people, but rather we are here to bring truth and love and encourage and allow the experiences of our life to change individuals. In other words, God using us. But if we're cutting people off just because they don't align with me and my other thoughts of my life, then we're hindering. But there's also the other part of this wickedness. To believe that everything we suffer and everything that we're going through is for nothing. The adversary wins on that one too. Because we do not take the moments in our life and allow God to be glorified and allow his grace and his truth to be brought into the world. That no matter what we have been through, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. There's the other side of that message that gets lost too. Paul is telling the church, he says, you know what? There's a lot of wickedness going on out there, and you will be persecuted. You're going to be tried. There's no doubt about it. He says, but you know, God is on your side. And this is all necessary. You can read this through the book. It'd be a good idea. 1 and 2 Thessalonians even. He says, now there is this spirit of rebellion that is out there, and it needs to be exposed. Those that are against God. And he actually comes out and names it actually in chapter 2. He says, this spirit of rebellion, or what we like to even call Antichrist, he says, is run by Satan himself. We don't hear about that stuff anymore, do we? You know, we're into this new culture where Everything is offensive, and we don't talk about anything negative, and we got to always get up here and preach peaches and cream and everything nice. Or is that sugar and spice and everything nice? One of those statements, right? And then the sad part is then we leave this church empowered and excited because, you know what, we understand and know that God is totally on our side, everything is rosy, and we enter into the world, we turn on our TVs or whatever else it may be, and we see the reality, and we're like, oh my goodness. That's the other side. That's the adversary at work. You may think I'm crazy. And that's fine. That's your right. But that's not the truth. God is still on his throne. He is still victorious. And yes, there is an air of deception that is out there in this world. There's no doubt about it. And many, many people, even myself at times, I found myself drawn to the deception. But the truth of it is that Christ is King. He has paid the price. We're a confused people. I don't even want to go into it because then it sounds like I'm being political. You don't have to be. Just turn on something in your life and actually don't even try to have an opinion on it. Just watch it. Everything's backwards. Everything's backwards. Even some of these decisions that are being made now, in my opinion, are very much putting the cart before the horse. But the fact of it is, nothing makes sense anymore. Why? Because we're too busy looking out there. We're too busy looking at what's going on around us instead of actually looking in here and to know what this says. That no matter what, Christ Jesus is on our behalf. No matter what, he is victorious over all these issues and these struggles. No matter what, man has been on a path of deception since the fall of the human race. And that we are not going to find the answers in that. But rather, we will find the answers in the redemptive work of Christ Jesus and of God as our King. So he comes across and he says, there is all of this deception that's out there. He says, and don't let anyone deceive you. He says, because, you know, the final day isn't going to come until this adversary or this rebellious one is revealed, the man of lawlessness. And he really comes about to bring nothing but destruction. That's why even a lot of the stuff that I watch nowadays, I mean, I barely spend 10 minutes a day because it nauseates me. They'll start consuming each other. That's what's going to happen. But the point of it is, we don't have to worry about these things. What we have an opportunity for is during these times is to bring this message to a people, to encourage them, to get them to stop looking at the externals of man and rather look to the finished work of Jesus Christ and the power of his kingdom, that we would have a hope beyond this life. And so he comes all the way across. He says, really, he says, this lawless one, he says, it's all the activity of the adversary. He actually says Satan here in ESV. He says, with the power to have all these fake signs and wonders. Oh, Pastor, that's so old-fashioned. It's like someone was talking to C.S. Lewis one time, and they said, are you actually going to introduce once again, you know, the devil with pitchforks and horns? And C.S. Lewis says very plainly, he says, I don't know what his appearance may really come out as, but there is absolutely an adversary, and his intent is not good. His intent is not good. We were discussing a little bit even in Bible study this morning how quickly even the world will say, well, there's some in the world that'll say there is no God, but they're quick to believe in evil. Why? He says, what I desire for you is to love the truth. He says, and that in reality will be your salvation, to love the truth. And Christ Jesus is that truth. So then he gets to our point of saying, we ought to always, he says, we are always giving thanks to God for you. He says, because in reality, he has chosen you to be the first fruits. He says, you have been sanctified. And he's talking to the believers now. And this is where I'm speaking to you. Yes, we know there's chaos. Yes, we know there's all kinds of issues out there. And no, we should not be ripping human beings apart. But we need to understand the proper place, that there is an evil work that is going on. And that we are not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting principalities and powers. And the only way to overcome this is through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, through the power of his word. We sit there and we wonder, why has faith left our nation, even as we say? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Do we not preach it? Do we not speak it? Do we not encourage people in it? How else are they going to know? Jesse has to stop trying to divide and say, well, that person thinks different than me, so I'm done with them. No. Love them and encourage them. Or do we just divide? We hear messages in this world about unity, but then every decision from there is to cause division. That is not the message of God. We are called as ambassadors of the gospel, even as Paul himself will call us, to enter into a world that is full of darkness and to bring light and to actually represent Christ Jesus. That's hard, isn't it? Left to our own devices, it's impossible. But we need to stop being offended. Because that is the greatest thing in this world nowadays, is everybody's offended over everything. We get hurt over everything. Well, maybe it's time for us as believers not to worry about being offended and actually have the heart and the fortitude to tell people you love them, in spite of what's going on. And not only that, but to share with them that there is a God that loves them. And he desires for restoration for them. Because there is an error. There is an error that is out there that is just ominous. You may think I'm smoking something, but it's true. I have a good friend that I was at his house the other day, and he went to run and go do some errands, and he came back, and he's a young man, about 52, and he's not a big church goer. But he told me, he said, it's just a weird air out there. Yes, because we are divided. And we are the light of this world as believers to enter into this world. And you may think I'm crazy. It's hard to do because we're all wearing masks, but smile. They can still see it in your eyes. I told one lady when I went to the counter, I'm smiling, you just can't see it. And she said, oh no, I can see it. Smile. Stop being suspicious of everybody. Enter into this world by the power of the Spirit and ask God to help you. He says, because you are the first fruits of those that are saved. He says, you are sanctified. You are set apart for a purpose by the Spirit because of the belief that you have in truth. You are equipped. You are equipped. He says, to this he called you. How? He called you as believers, and I'm speaking to the church now. He called you as believers by the gospel, by that good news. I pray that's why you're here. Or maybe someone invited you to come here and you don't quite understand this gospel. Let me tell you, this is the gospel, for God loves you. And he desires for you to be with him forever. And he paid your debt. He paid for all the sin that you may not even understand that you've done. And he's paid for mine. You are no better than me, and you are no worse than I. We are both sinners in need of grace, and God says, yes. Yes. It doesn't end here. It goes with us when we go down a path and we stand in line and someone's looking at us as though we're the adversary. God loves them and desires for restoration with them, just as he loves you. This is the call. But sometimes we live in so much fear and so much suspicion that we actually hinder the gospel. Too many times we think that to stand for Christ and not to be ashamed of Christ is to stand on a corner street with a sign and hold it up. And that's nothing wrong with that. I see that they're doing it for hockey players now. Let us play. Let us play. Never saw one of those signs saying, let us go to church. Oh, sorry. I'm not a sports guy, so forgive me on that one. But the reality of it is that we have a mission. Each and every one of us. But not only a mission. We are equipped. And we are loved. He says, he has sanctified you. He has set you apart by the power of his Spirit. And he's called you through the gospel that you actually will obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, so understanding who you are, we are not rebels. The Christian church of itself is not a bunch of rebels, or we're not terrorists. That's ridiculous. The proof, if we open our eyes for a minute, is we're not burning things down. Come on. That's rhetoric. And forgive it. And move forward. And show that we are the body of Christ because he has called us. He has sanctified us by his Spirit. That we have this understanding of truth. And he's called us through his gospel so that we can have the glory of Jesus Christ. Not our own glory, the glory of Jesus Christ. And he says very plainly, so that you have this, now stand firm. Don't be afraid. And that's a tough one, isn't it? It really is. He says, but stand firm. He says, and hold to the traditions. Hold to what we have preached to you. Hold to the fact of no matter what, God loves you. That you are his child. Redeemed by the precious work of Jesus the Christ. And we have a hope that this world and the adversary cannot take away. That we, if you could say it in this way, hold our position no matter what. So why are we afraid about them taking away our position? Taking away our titles? We know who we are. We are the children of God. And we know as the children of God, we represent him in this world. How are we doing? We sit in our congregations or at the federation level and argue about Bible translation. What translation are you? What translation am I? Jesus entered into this world and he loved and he encouraged and he preached, but he helped. See, he just didn't feel sorry for people and walk away. He actually got involved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are the same. That we have the ability by the power of his Spirit to enter into a world and effect change. To love the unlovable. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. He says, but you've been set apart. You've been given the power of his Holy Spirit. He says, you know the gospel. You know the truth. He says, so stand firm in it. He says, and continue. Continue to follow the spoken word. Continue even to read the letters. To be encouraged. And then he says very plainly, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, our God the Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort. In other words, he gives us that security. He says, and the good hope through grace, may he comfort you. Have you read that in the last few weeks? That Paul himself is saying, your comfort comes from him. Not from your money, not from vaccines or no vaccines, not from your politicians. Our comfort as the believers in Jesus Christ comes from God the Father through Jesus Christ. He is the one to establish us and to give us a good work. Jesus says that we are to love one another as he has loved us. That is a great work. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if we could but do that and do that alone, I believe that's enough. So ask God the Father in the upcoming week to give you the ability to love one another as he has loved us. That'll change the world. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite hearts in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word. Father, we know there's human beings involved, and that's difficult. We ask forgiveness for that part.